الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. الله سبحانه وتعالى declares in the Holy Quran that the month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was revealed, a guidance for mankind, clear signs of true guidance, and the criterion between right and wrong. Nothing empowers a community more than the development of its moral character. And by embodying the moral values of wahi, of revelation, and of the Quran, any people, irrespective, can enjoy a higher social life, life that is based on mutual respect, on mutual assistance and support, a sense of duty that encourages people to observe the principles of right and of justice, in spite of them pursuing many varying and competing interests all at once. And this certainly, I think, would be a summary of the malaise of modern society, in that a higher social life certainly is not being enjoyed. People certainly don't seem to respect each other, and there seems to be a callous absence of a sense of duty one to the other. There seems to also be a reluctance to uphold the right, especially when it involves some form of self-sacrifice, and justice certainly is remarkably absent. Allah declares, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. In the context of competing interests, they're quite natural, quite normal. And Allah declares that indeed you strive for diverse ends. Each of us has their own subjective goals and ideals. But Allah declares, أَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, he who gives in charity and has taqwa, God consciousness, is ever cognizant and aware of Allah, the All Seeing, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and in all sincerity testifies to that which is best and most excellent. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, that indeed we will make the path smooth to him, the path to bliss will become easily achieved. In other words, he'll enjoy success. Success in the hereafter, success in this world. The theme that moral life based on taqwa, on God consciousness, that leads ultimately to societal strength and then to prosperity, Islam is not some type of body denying religion. We don't deny ourselves the delights also of this world. We relish the prosperity that Allah affords us, and we show due gratitude. But this link between taqwa, societal strength, and prosperity is repeated often in the Quran. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And whomsoever has taqwa, who is ever conscious of Allah, Allah prepares a way out for them from any and every difficulty and every challenge. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and Allah provides for them from sources they could never have imagined. They become a highly innovative society and a profoundly prosperous society. Taqwa leads also to innovation. إِنَّ الْأَرْضِ لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبة للمتقين. Indeed, the earth is Allah's to give as a heritage to such of His servants as He pleases, and the final triumph, the ultimate success, is for those who have taqwa. In this context also, Allah talks about empire and conquest, military and political supremacy. You can achieve this provided you have Allah consciousness. And obviously, Islamic history is a testament to the truth of these Quranic declarations. Now, in this context, Islam prescribes fasting, sawm, as the means to attain taqwa, that prerequisite for societal strength, that prerequisite for prosperity, that prerequisite for innovation, that prerequisite even for political supremacy. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That, oh, you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, لعلكم تتقون, that you may learn taqwa, God consciousness, self restraint, those foundations on which moral excellence are built. Fasting in the holy month of Ramadan is one of the foremost of the five pillars of Islam. And as well as being among the greatest symbols of Islam, it has many purposes. And these purposes need to be rehearsed, and we need to be reminded of them. Purposes relating to the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purposes as relates to true thanksgiving for Allah's bounties, and also purposes as relates to our individual and our collective lives. And more importantly, those as relate to self-training and self-discipline. Our moral excellence will determine the excellence of the societies in which we live, even the prosperity enjoyed by the societies in which we live. Now, one of the multiple purposes of fasting connected firstly, as I mentioned, to the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests the perfection of His lordship, that He is our Rabb, the cherisher, the creator, who doesn't just create and turns His back, as Einstein suggested, the blind watchmaker, and leaves creation to its own devices, but rather He is Rabb, the cherisher, the one who cares for, the one who nurtures, who brings from a state of nothingness to ultimate perfection. So fasting is related to the recognition of this rububiyyah, and Allah being Ar-Rahman, Allah being Ar-Rahim, the merciful, Allah being the compassionate upon the surface of the earth, which Allah is actually designed for us, this blue emerald jewel floating through space on which we pass our lives and from which we derive the fulfillment of our every need. This is the table upon which Allah is laid upon every form of bounty, every variety of delight. But people are ghafil, they are heedless, and they cannot perfectly discern the reality of the situation in which we are in. How many of us now have actually considered the fact that we are floating in this dark expanse called space, literally lost for all intents and purposes on this little emerald jewel? We need to be reminded, because of our heedlessness, because of the blinding veils of the material world and our very parochial, narrow-minded interests, and also the blinding veil of causality. We don't look beyond the interface that is the physical world. We don't look at where the true source of all bounty comes from. So the purpose of fasting is taqwa, to bring to our minds the conscious awareness of our terrifying reality that we are, for all intents and purposes, lost. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَىٰ, and then we attain guidance. The fasting reminds us of this. We are recipients of profound favor. We are recipients of benevolence and generosity, both insofar as the physical well-being that we enjoy on this planet, and also the spiritual or moral guidance we achieve through revelation. Insofar as the thanksgiving for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, there's a price, in fact, ultimately for the food brought from the kitchen of a king by the servant carrying those trays of food. Obviously, it would be foolishness, absolute stupidity, to thank and reciprocate the servant, but not to recognize the king who sends the food. And this is where modern man loses himself in asbab, in causal factors, and forgets the musabbibul asbab, the true cause of all causes, the true source of all bounty, namely Allah. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread for mankind these countless bounties, as I mentioned, these infinite varieties of delights, without very much that we've done to deserve them. And these bounties require the payment of a price, and that price is shukr, it is thanksgiving. The apparent causes of those bounties, those who bring them to us, these are like the food-carrying servants in the example earlier. We pay the servants, we feel indebted to them, sometimes thank them, we show them a degree of respect and a degree of recognition that they actually do not merit. The true giver of bounty, the true source all that we enjoy, even our very being, our lives, our capacity to even be consciously aware of ourselves and what is around us, is Allah. He is infinitely more deserving of shukr, of thanks, of hamd, of praise for the bounties that we receive than these causes that Allah uses as a means by which to confer them to us. Whether it's the job we have, whether it is the skill set we've acquired, whether it is the resources and opportunities at our disposal, whether it is the parents who cherished us through our youth, these are just asbab, means. Rather, we turn to the source of all bounty, and this is the purpose of fasting, to remove us from that heedlessness and to redirect our attention to this great Rabb, Rabbil Alameen, the cherisher of all being. Fasting during the holy month of Ramadan is in fact the key to this true, sincere, comprehensive and universal thanksgiving. Many people are unable to appreciate most of the bounties they enjoy. And that is because they have a false sense of entitlement to them, and that is also because of the fact that they are gifted them so freely and so easily. We are spoiled brats. And because we don't suffer any deprivation, we've always had whatever we've desired, we take for granted what we have. We are ghafil. So that piece of dry bread means nothing as a divine bounty for people who are bursting at the seams, literally, obese, especially the rich. But that piece of dry bread becomes a very valuable bounty of Allah in the sight of that mu'min at the time of his iftar, when breaking the fast. And everyone, whether a king or the poorest of people, they feel the very same. And both the king and the poor man is elevated from this ghafil state, like cattle. يَأْكُلُ وَيَتَمَتَّعُ وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. With our heads buried in the grounds, munching and munching and munching, until eventually they fall over and they die. Not ever once do you find cattle looking up at the skies. So the king, as well as the poor man, through fasting, he's allowed the opportunity to lift his head and look at the heavens with a heartfelt thanksgiving, and no longer be like cattle. And this is the favor of the month of Ramadan. He understands the value of divine bounties. And because of being forbidden to eat during the daytime, the mu'min thinks of those bounties as the amanat. He sees it as not originally belonging to him, and that he is not free to regard it merely as a commodity, but rather he is entrusted with a gift. And upon consuming even the food, he knows that the strength afforded to him by that bounty has to be directed towards the ends intended by the giver of the bounty. And so he engages himself in a'malu salihah, in righteous action. The one who owns them, Allah, the one who grants them to the mu'min, this is the one to whom we direct both thanks, and part of the thanks is using the gift for the purposes intended by the giver. And so by acknowledging that whatever we eat and whatever we drink to be a gift of Allah, fasting becomes a key to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is the highest human duty. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah says, remember me, don't become forgetful. Don't be heedless like those cows with their necks bent to the ground, munching and munching and munching. Rather, remember me. And most importantly, وَاشْكُرُوا لِي. Thank me for my bounty, for the gifts I confer upon you. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And never commit kufr. Kufr is first and foremost ingratitude. That is literally the meaning of the word kufr, to be ungrateful, not to acknowledge the source of a gift, not to show due thanksgiving. Insofar as fasting related to our collective life is concerned, Allah has created insan differently in respect of their livelihood. We are all born equal. Certainly by action we become far apart, but even in the favors we enjoy, Allah in His wisdom has given some more and some less. Through this imtihan, this test, this trial, Allah then calls those who are given more, whether it's given more wealth, given more of the gifts of intellect, given more of opportunity, to come to those who are deprived of opportunity, those who may not know. He calls those who are afforded the greater blessing to share that blessing with those who may be deprived. And through it, Allah tests both our shukr, our gratitude, as well as our sabr, our fortitude. And most importantly in that context, our tawakkul, our trust in His wise dispensation, never ever questioning His intent with us. However, it's only through the hunger of fasting of Sawm that the rich can actually feel the hunger of the poor. We can sympathize with a poor person, but until we haven't felt his hunger or his suffering, we can never empathize, we can never feel his suffering. And the tragic situation of the poor is brought to bear upon the conscience of the Muslim who fasts in a way that no other ritual can. Not even Salah can do that. Not even Hajj can do that. It is only through Sawm. So without fasting, you find many rich, many self-indulgent people simply would not be able to perceive how painful hunger and poverty are, how desperate the situation of those who are deprived really is, and to what extent the poor actually need care. There's certainly always one poorer than you. So everyone actually is obliged to show care for the one poorer than him. Even the poor have those who are poorer than them. And as a consequence, the obligation of fasting is universal. Everyone fasts. There's always someone less fortunate than you. Unduru ila man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanduru ila man huwa fawqakum. The Prophet would say, always look at those who have less than you. Never look at those who, in your estimation, seem to have more than you. For it is only in this way that you would not overlook the favors Allah has conferred upon you. So one is obliged to suffer hunger. And it's almost impossible for us to do true good, sincerely motivated by empathy, feeling for the poor, to give help to our fellow beings as required by that duty of care. And this is actually one of the greatest psychoses within the modern context. In many respects, the Western peoples seem not to have the type of empathy you would expect within the normal spectrum of human emotions. That's one of the reasons why colonization occurred. That's one of the reasons why the ghettos and the pogroms and the genocides that this type of materialist mind has produced has occurred. That's one of the reasons why we have more than 40 million Muslims slaughtered in the last 20 years by Western nations without a care in the world, literally, insanity. And one of the reasons is simply because the world of the suffering of the oppressed is so far removed. So fasting is intended to create this empathy and to have us rediscover our humanity. The nafs desires to be unrestricted. Ammara bisu, that which instructs to what is most base. It even wishes for an imagined type of lordship. It's disinclined to thinking that it is being trained and tested through these countless bounties of Allah that it enjoys. Humanity, part heavenly, part angelic, and part worldly, part of the animal realm. The nafs, the ego, actually belongs to the animal realm, and it has its functional purposes. However, when it audaciously encroaches upon the angelic aspirations of humanity, it drags him down literally. So in the month of Ramadan, that nafs, that ego, understands that rather than owning itself and wanting to define humanity within squarely the animal context, our worldly reality, it discovers that it is owned by another, and also that it has to assess itself from the perspective of the spiritual realities. And rather than being free, it is a servant, it is abd. And unless it is ordered or permitted, it is unable to do even the most common thing, like eating and drinking. The most fundamental and basic human instinct, the strongest human instinct, is that of hunger. And it is in the context of this instinct, which underpins the ego and its fundamental purposes of driving the self to preservation, self-preservation. This illusory lordship of the nafs is shattered. That we are not governed by instinct, we are not slaves to the cycle of habit, for want of better words. But you are actually an abd, you are now a servant, and you are called to perform your real duty. And the real duty of insan is shukr, is thanksgiving. To recognize that there is an Allah, to understand that the source of all bounty we enjoy is that Allah, to use that bounty in a way that pleases Allah and accomplishes the will of heaven, and ultimately to show due thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a loving thanks. The nafs also does not see, in fact, it doesn't want to see its own weaknesses and its own imperfections. It's self-deluded. And this, I think, is a very accurate description of the modern secular mind. It's a self-deluded mind. It claims a lordship. Humanism ultimately places the human being as the center of the cosmos, no longer the divine. God is expelled, he's abrogated. But there's a paradox, because the human being also knows its mortality. It understands its fragility. It recognizes its weakness and imperfection. And what does it do as a response? Well, in the absence of a spiritual tradition, in the absence of religion, it hides, it conceals, it airbrushes these imperfections. It doesn't reflect how it is subject to decay. The nafs doesn't acknowledge fully that it consists merely of flesh and bones, and that these are subject to rapid disintegration and decomposition. And we rush around, at least the secular mind, rushes upon the world with a type of violent greed, attempting to satiate its every desire, and assuming that it has a body of steel and that it lives forever. In fact, most of us really don't fully realize reality, and that is that we are to die. But then comes the fasting. Ramadan comes, and it causes even the most heedless and the stubborn person to actually feel that weakness, to recognize our innate poverty, how fragile we are. Hunger becomes an important consideration. It reminds us how fragile and how quickly we are subject to decay. We come to perceive to what extent we need actually a generous, compassionate giver. We need care. And as soon as we recognize that we are in need, we give up haughtiness. There's no longer arrogance. There's no longer, therefore, tyranny and oppression. We feel a desire to take refuge in that generous, benevolent giver, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize our perfect helplessness, our powerlessness, and that He is all-powerful. And then we rise and we knock at the doors of His mercy. And this is what is meant by the Qiyamul Layl, the standing up in the nights of Ramadan, knocking at the door of this benevolent King, begging of His bounty and favor. Recognizing our innate poverty and our fragility, and how with even a few hours of fasting, we lose our strength, we begin to die. So these are some reflections on the inner dimensions of the Sawm, of the fast of Ramadan.